Hi, this is Jason Blaine. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, presented by Now and Then magazine with my friend, Kim Sear.
Welcome back to Music's Journey podcast, where you can hear all about the artist, the band, the lyrics, and music. Before I jump into my interview with Jason Blaine, there are a few things that I would like to go over first. If you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really helps grow the community we are developing here. If you are somebody who has recently found our podcast, welcome. We are really excited to have you here, so please make sure you subscribe and stay tuned to future episodes. To everybody listening, take a snapshot and post this on your Instagram story and tag Music's Journey Podcast and Now and Then Magazine. I will feature you on our next podcast. Without further ado, here is my interview with country superstar Jason Blaine.
It's time to get behind the lyrics, the music, and the artist. You're listening to the Music's Journey podcast, brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com, your music and entertainment online magazine. I'm John Marshall. With her special guest, here's your host, Kim Sear.
It's always a great day when I hear that there's a new song released by multi-award winning artist, singer-songwriter Jason Blaine. We are so happy to have him back. With nearly 1.5 million streams since his release, the reviews are in. Welcome to the show, Jason Blaine.
Hey, Kim.
How are you?
Thank you, John, for having me on the show. I'm doing great. We're hanging in there. I hope you guys are well and keeping healthy and well.
I hear you weren't feeling too good. After your, is that second shot you had?
Oh, it wasn't terrible, but yes, it's true. I sort of got the 24-hour, you know, semi-flu thing that people warned me about. I had got the second shot of the Pfizer vaccination the evening before at about 6:30, and I was fine. I felt fine until about 1 o'clock in the afternoon the next day, and I thought that I had dodged it. A lot of people said they sort of felt flu-like symptoms, and I was going, oh, I feel great. And about 1 o'clock, I was like, oh, okay, there it is. A little headachy, little chills, little lower back thing, little achy thing, just kind of fatigue and stuff. But it lasted, you know, the rest of the day and into the evening a little bit, and then I was good as new the next morning. And, you know, I thought, if that's all, that's not bad at all. I'll take that.
Well, it's kind of like the same thing with all the other shots that we get for the flu shots, I think. I haven't got my second one for COVID yet. I know that, you know, with my immune system, it's completely, you know, that's going to be a crapshoot. But I'm really hoping, you know, that it's not going to be too bad.
Yeah. Well, everybody's just kind of doing the best they can, you know, and making the best decisions that they can for their health and stuff, and doing whatever we can do to get back, you know, get back to life and get our industry back. You know, I wasn't super excited to get it. You know, I wasn't a big cheerleader of it. I wasn't jumping for joy. I mean, we're just trusting. It's a tremendous amount of trust that the science community got the science right, and that it just, you know, it's all going to be good. But it's more, I got it for our industry. I got it for everybody else.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, whatever we can do to sort of come together and get it going and bring our industry back, because there's been so much, it's just been so hard for so many people for so long. It's just obviously so unprecedented. So
yeah,
we're just trying to do this thing together, but we're going to have some shows on the books.
Oh, I cannot wait. I know you've been so busy writing, and I know that's the one thing, that's one of the silver linings you had out of all this. What else has there been that's been a silver lining for you during all this?
Well, I mean, time with family has been really great. And then time just to record new music. I've actually been able to record what's going to turn into an album, but it's 7 songs so far. So at the moment,
nice.
It's a 7 song EP, and it's going to be nothing that anybody or the few, unless you know me, will expect from me. I can't even say it's totally country either. It's not completely country, or it's more country than ever.
Aren't you? I get that feel with the music you got going out, that, you know, that Americana feeling, that sound. And blues.
Yeah, well, anything that sort of sounds like, you know, older country sort of gets labeled Americana or roots or something.
True.
Right? It's like, but it was just mainstream maybe years ago. But I think it would be in the same lane as stuff that you hear from Chris Stapleton, in the sense that it's the way that we recorded this EP is there's not much going on. It's the way that those Stapleton records sound, or the things that I love about them anyway, where it's literally just four instruments. It's just like bass, drums, guitar, and maybe organ or keys, maybe an acoustic guitar.
Yeah, because he's got that real great classical country sound, but real modern, you know, at the same time. He's made it modern. And it's just, you know, everybody in the younger generation is really captivated. I know I'm a huge fan of his. And he's just brought back classic country into this generation,
yeah,
which is awesome.
Yeah, I don't even know what's modern about it other than it's just popular.
And
it's just, you know, he's just so amazing. But it's like there's really nothing that sounds like, there's no modern sounds on those records. In fact, they really went out of their way to make it sound like just organic, real music that you would hear throughout the decades, with so many great influences from older country to Americana to blues to rock, to Southern rock or whatever. And, you know, I just love that stuff, and I've loved that stuff for a very, very long time. And I love records from guys like Vince Gill forever. People that know me know I talk about Vince all the time. And then records like that John Mayer has made, I mean, as far back as 2013 with Paradise Valley and Born and Raised, and those records that they just sound like bluesy country music.
Well, that stripped back, you know, sound is like whenever you see those tours coming out, you know, somebody's going to do a stripped back tour, I'm the first in line, because I love just, you know, to be able to hear just those simple instruments, but they're just so cool, you know, to be able to hear that kind of music. It just feels like you're one-on-one, you know, with the artist.
Yeah. And you know, hopefully we'll get to talk a lot more about that. I'll be releasing the first song from it pretty soon, probably within the next couple of, within the next month or two. We've got, you know, I've sort of got this double thing going on where I've been a mainstream commercial country artist for my whole career, and I've always felt like in a bit of a box that just the nature of trying to be in the mainstream of country by its very nature places you in a box when you're trying to be on the radio. I mean, literally, you have to get to the course by a certain time. The solo can only be so long.
Yeah.
The song better be over by 3 minutes or earlier if you can manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, I've been doing that for so long, and I think that this whole shutdown thing just really, you know, made me, you know, question what I wanted to do next. And instead of just jumping right back into doing that, my fire has temporarily gone out for doing that. I had no desire to do that in the past 14 months. I really just kind of went into, you know, went back, I picked up my acoustic guitar and I kind of went back to, okay, what do I really love musically? You know, what do I even love today, because I'm not the same person I was when I embarked on my career 20 years ago. And you know what? I went back to influences. I started playing and listening to the Eagles records again, and listening to old Vince, and listening to Delbert McClinton, and then listening to, well, the Stapleton stuff these days, and John Mayer, and then Tom Petty,
so,
and then Colin James, and all this guitar-driven, bluesy country, older sounding thing. And I'm like, this is what sets my heart on fire.
Same with me, because I'm telling you, whenever I hear any of those, if I need a lift, if I'm in that car, and especially this last month, those are the things that you go through, that you gravitate to, that make you feel good. And I can listen to that stuff all day long, and it's just a healing point for me. And I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So it's a weird thing when you realize like, wow, I don't even listen to the kind of music that I'm making. That's a weird, that's a weird dilemma to be in.
Yeah.
And not such a dog on the stuff, but it's just like, you know, the modern country music thing is cool and all. And I want to be part of the world, you know, and be able to play shows and all that stuff. But I find that other than Stapleton, other than him, who you know, if it's not him, I mean, I don't think anybody else would get on mainstream radio with mm-hmm. with songs that sound like that, you know, where it can just literally be an acoustic guitar strumming and a vocal or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a hard time for the longest time. So it's like, you know, mainstream radio will give like one spot to that and that'll be Chris.
Yep.
They're not going to change their whole sonic, you know, picture, you know, anytime soon. I don't think so. So, but now there's a whole nother world open up on
digital,
right? And streaming and satellite radio. And there's way more opportunity to get music out there that, you know, it's not, you know, trying to have a hit on the with this kind of music is just, it's not realistic. It's just not realistic.
Yeah, it's authentic that they're looking for. It's the lyrics that people deal with in real life, right? And that's why you're seeing it in the UK, Australia, you're seeing it Japan, China, Switzerland, everybody that, you know, that's been on board with the podcast is like, we've been blowing up over there just from the Canadian country music. And it's always been that stuff. Right? It's always been that stripped down version that does so well. And, you know, the same thing when it comes to the pop, like, cause I do all the genres, but, all the stripped down music that we've been putting out there for rock or, you know, for pop or whatever, R&B, all of it, those are the ones that just go on fire.
I don't really have expectations, for this music. I literally don't know, what's going to happen with it or how it will be received or whatever, but I just knew that I had to make it. I just had to make this project. So I'm talking a little bit too much about it because it's not out yet, and I want to have the same conversation when it actually comes out with you, and then we can talk more about the title track.
Absolutely.
And we can talk about all the stuff and how it came together. But I'm just sort of using the opportunity, I guess, as we're talking, it just to sort of tee it up and say, hey, you know, when I'm playing a few backyard things this summer or whatever, I might actually debut a couple of these things. And I sort of have throughout the past year. I played a couple of them on my Instagram Live. One song in particular is called Beginning of the End.
I love that one.
You've heard that one?
Yes, I love it.
Thank
you
so
much. Really love that song.
I think it's just a perfect time, and I want to get it out as soon as we can because that's what I think it feels like. It feels like right now, the season that we're in. And this is actually a song that we wrote years ago before the pandemic or anything like that, but it just kind of resurfaced.
Mm-hmm.
And I just went, oh my God, this is one of my favorite things I've ever written or been a part of writing. And right now, it just feels like we're coming to the beginning of the end of the rain.
Well, I think, I'm just telling you, just like I said this to John last night, this is the best work you've ever done. I was saying that to him last night when we were playing it back. This is the best work you've ever done.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, so you are definitely, it's just, I don't know, even when I see you, is such an amazing tune. And you're seeing that, with 1.5 million streams. It's insane, you know, how many you've gotten just in that short period of time since the release. But it's only going to get better, especially with that song, I'm telling you. I have that feeling.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, dear. Well, you're so sweet. You know, it's a crazy time. You know, I think the song, I'll just be honest, for your podcast, for the purposes of our conversation, the song went out to radio 7 weeks ago, and I don't, we don't have any major markets have added that song yet, so I don't
really?
Know that if what I don't know what the future is for that song. I mean, I've just really struggled to get songs up the charts in recent years. It's very crowded. There's so much great music out there. The double-edged sword is that it's one of the best times for Canadian country music in particular.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not lost on me that I'm not the shiny new kid on the block anymore. And that's not lost on me. I get that. It is tough when you think you've got a great song and you want it for not just yourself. You want it for your co-writers and your producer and your label and everybody that is in your team that's worked so hard to get it out there. And then, you know, it goes out to radio and they've got, you know, stations have whatever, you know, 15 songs to choose from, and you're one of them. And, you know, so there's a lot that goes into getting a song up the charts these days.
Well, I think that, you know, it isn't easy. And, you know, this industry isn't easy to crack. And, you know, they do have that cookie cutter when it comes to radio with what they're looking for that particular station. And it isn't easy. But in my heart of hearts, this is by far the best and it's just authentic. It's there. It's you. It's just so different. And still definitely Jason Blaine, but I think it's your best voice too, to be honest.
Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, I think it's the best version of being, you know, in the a very intentional move to be a part of the mainstream. Like, we recorded it like a modern pop country track and produced it that way, so it it fits in sonically with the picture of what's going on. It was definitely an effort to sound, you know, current and not be dated, and to push myself to sound current. I guess in my heart, I've got a more of a purist tendency, but, you know, I let Zdenek Dupel do his thing on the song and throw in some really cool modern pop country things that he does so well. And I think, you know, together I think it really came together, and I think he crushed the mix, and the production sounds awesome. And, you know, we need some fans to call into their station, whatever their big stations is, and let them know. I don't read them all, but I do read them all. I see the comments from the radio, you know, program directors and stuff, and week after week, it's like, oh, so close, you know, we just, you know, so close, we only added one song this week, and if there was two, you would have been in, and we're so close, and it's like, you know, we're still in the running, and it's still hanging in there, and we're going to get maybe add it next week, and then next week comes around, it's like, maybe the next week, and, you know, it's just like by a hair, you know, and if this was like literally, one person actually said if this was 5 years ago, they would have already added my song to radio, but there's so much traffic, and there's just great... There's so many great artists.
Yeah, yeah,
you know, so
I think that's like you're saying, that there is a big difference in Canadian country music. You know, male and female. There's just so much traffic, and you know, there's some really great music out there. But I think, you know, with the live streaming and like Spotify and Amazon Music and all these different awards that are going out there, I think the fans have so much control. And just to let them know, it's like the more you play it, the more you like it, the more you rate it, you know, the more it's going to be played and mainstreamed into country music. And as I said, we always encourage the fans to get on the phone and call their local country radio stations and request the songs.
It's so important. It really is, because sometimes that could be, you know, that really could put it over the top. But if they happen to call the day before you go into a music meeting, and somebody in the music meeting says, you know what, we actually just got some calls from some fans about this song, we should add it, you know, and then they do, and then you're off to the races. Everything really adds up. It's hard to put your finger on like one thing, but it all sort of adds up across the board, you know, what matters. But the cool thing is that, you know, with streaming, and like you said, with all of the millions of streams that this stuff has got, what's cool is that you can, it used to be before streaming was the thing, and people made their own playlists, and there's all kinds of great playlists on Spotify and Amazon and iTunes and Apple, everything. It used to be to where if it wasn't on the radio, you wouldn't play it in the show, because likely the fans wouldn't know it. But I've found in recent years that there's been many songs, a handful of songs in my set that weren't big radio hits, and they become the biggest songs of the set. And Dance With My Daughter is the perfect example.
Oh, I know. Oh, that's such a good song. Such a good song.
That's my most streamed song to date, I think.
Yeah. It comes from that authentic place I'm talking about, right, that people can relate to. And, you know, they can apply that to their own lives as well. And it's just such an amazing song that you put out there. Like, John and I were having this conversation last night, and he kept saying, because I always say it on this podcast, telling the fans, take the time, you know, when you're downloading the song, share it, play it, and then rate it, but then call your local radio stations and request the song. They'll play it. And John goes, no, they won't. I said, they will. They will play it. If you get enough people asking, you get enough, you know, traffic saying, hey, we want this, they're going to be more, you know, apt to put it in there.
Oh, yeah, you're not wrong about that. There's a term for that that they use called analytics.
Mm-hmm.
And they literally look at those numbers and stuff. And so all the feedback, it all adds up. But you know what? It'll be what it'll be. You know, all we can do is make the best music we can and put it out there and hope that it gets a shot to get heard. And but, you know, like I was talking about before, but in the meantime, looking forward with my career and my life, I was like, you know, I need to start. I decided, I'm like, I need to start doing this in such a way that it's so not dependent on whether something becomes a hit or not, or not judging mm-hmm. the music on whether it how successful it is.
It's what it means to you. And I think that's writing for music, for you.
Yeah, what it means to me and hopefully what it means to somebody else. Because I've had songs that have charted higher than songs like Dance With My Daughter, and they're forgotten about.
Yeah.
They were great for the minute, and they were, you know, they did what they did. But then the ones that ended up holding up and coming back seemed to be these songs like They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore and Dance With My Daughter and a few of the things that where the heart and the commercial thing both ended up coming together. And that doesn't always have to be like a slow ballad with a big life message. It can be a fun song, but ultimately, you know, something that just seems to connect with everybody on a real level.
Well, you know, When I See You is just one of those tunes. It's one that you just want to keep playing and playing and playing. I love this song. I was listening to it all day. And John's
that's
going
so great. You know, that's my wife and my kids. That's one of their favorite songs off this EP because they just love the fun. You know, they just love something with a good that jumps out of the speakers and it's just fun to listen to.
Well, you got the guitar. Like, I love the guitar in this too. There's just so much about this song that's just like so good, so good. So tell us about writing this one.
So I wrote this with Parker Welling and Casey Brown, and they've had a lot of success in recent years with Russell Dickerson. Casey produced all of Russell's music, and that combo has been working with Russell since his very first song. Like, they wrote his first number one together. And my publisher set me up with that right a few years back, and I met them, and just sweet, sweet people, great talents. And Miss Parker has just been crushing it as a writer in Nashville. She's became one of the top five female songwriters in town here in the past year.
Oh, wow.
And to no surprise, because she's so great with lyrics. I mean, I could literally point to the song and point a handful of lyrics that were mine in the song, and I will give, you know, full measure of credit to her. I think she really carried the weight on the bulk of the lyric of this song. I believe I had the title and the concept. I wanted to write this concept of, you know, when I see you, I see more than just the physical or more than just the surface stuff. I see your personality. I see memories when I see you, you know, the good times we had and the good times yet to come kind of thing. She just loved the idea, and I knew that I wanted that opening line, I see a Rolling Stones red T-shirt sticking out its tongue. I thought that's a great image right out of the gate, a little Rolling Stones reference. And for anybody paying attention, that's the second time I've referenced the Stones in
love,
one of my
love,
songs.
Love.
The other time was cool.
Love.
But I am a Stones fan, but you just see these pictures on Instagram and stuff of these girls, you know, and young girls too, rocking that red lips Rolling Stones shirt, and I'm
it's
like,
true.
I wonder if they've ever actually seen the Stones or could name one Rolling Stones song. But so iconic, right? So I thought that was a super fun opening line, and then Parker just was off to the races with spitting out lyrics like crazy, and I was just trying to keep up, and then Casey was building this amazing track and steering the melodies it was all such a blur. It's always such a whirlwind of just trying to grab stuff out of the air and edge of your seat whenever these songs come along in this process. And then somehow by the end of the day, I mean, the demo of the song, I mean, we wrote the song and I sang the vocal, and then later that night the demo, you know, got texted to me from Casey and Parker was on it. And it just sounded almost like the way you hear it on the radio now. We basically just boosted up the demo and put some more guitars on and just really brought it to life. And, Casey was gracious enough to, let us use a couple of his, loops and tricks that he built into the demo that were just so cool. The song wouldn't be the same without them. So it all sort of goes into the pot, right? Everybody sort of brings their talent to it and all gets stirred up, and that's how it comes out.
Well, it's some pretty amazing talent. So let's play Jason Blaine's new single, When I See You, right here on Music's Journey.
I see a Rolling Stones red lips T-shirt sticking out its tongue. I see a peace sign patch on the backside of some Levi's 501s. I see 11-11 on the dash, heaven hanging over green grass, cherry limeade and Tennessee Jack in a DQ cup. That's what I see, girl, when I see you. See me and you forever, see me getting down on me, girl. Ray-Ban weather, my sunshine whenever I need it. Everything's sweet, girl, champagne sparkle, your hands up, drop top, Neil Young rocking in the free world. That's what I see, girl, when I see you. I see a Waffle House bug in your hand, you wearing my button up. I see a screen print Marilyn under pink neon, stay forever young. I see a string of white lights in May, a corner pocket you sinking that A. I see a jumbotron kiss cam, call mom, ask your dad for your hand. Oh man, that's what I see, girl, when I see you. See me and you forever, see me getting down on me, girl. Ray-Ban weather, my sunshine whenever I need it. Everything's sweet, girl, champagne sparkle. Hands up, drop top, feel young, rockin' in the free world. That's what I see, girl, when I see you. I see yellow bee honey, blue stripe 85 pickup running, sparks and sunlit pews, a lazy brown dog and a couple kids too. When I see you, that's what I see. When I see you, see me and you forever, see me getting down on me, girl. Ray-Ban weather, my sunshine whenever I need it. Everything's sweet, girl, champagne sparkle, hands up, drop top, feel young, rocking in the free world. That's what I see, girl, when I see you. Oh, girl, when I see you, that's what I see, that's what I see.
Love that song, When I See You, Jason Blaine. And Jason, congratulations for having the very first song to mention a Waffle House mug.
I'm making history. That's what we're doing. I'm making history.
You are.
One Waffle House mug at a time.
I love this song. The way that they produced this is so cool. And as I said, it's just one of those ones that we were just playing nonstop yesterday, and it's just, you just don't get sick of it. So fans, get out there right now, and you guys can download this one and you can play it, share it, and don't forget to request it at your local country radio station. So one of the best ones out there right now, and that's a brand new one, When I See You by Jason Blaine. So awesome, awesome, awesome. Tell us about the release of the video, the lyrical video, and if you guys are going to be releasing an official one or what's happening with that.
You know, I don't think we will. We'll probably just have the lyric video to this one. We did shoot like some promo stuff right before all of the pandemic stuff happened in Toronto, just pieces of songs. So I was really grateful and glad that we did that. And we did that just as everything was happening. We shot that in March of 2020, like early March at Castle North Studios in Hamilton. So I was really glad that we did that. And used my band guys who are in the video, which is awesome. And we shot a bit of every song for social media and images and stuff like that. But the lyric video is really great for this song because there's just so many images. I don't even know how you would do the song justice with a video with so many random lyrics.
I agree to that.
You know?
Yeah. 100%. Because that's why I said, like, when you're listening to it, as I said, you can feel every moment of it. And, you know, I don't think that they could probably do it any better. It comes across completely. 100%. It's so cool.
Yeah, and I think that you know, number one is it'd be very expensive to shoot all of that content, but number two, I think the song is really When I See You, and it's about, you know, somebody else seeing their memories and their moments with their special someone. So you can, you know, you hear the song, it's better to kind of get your own pictures in your mind of those moments, you know, rather than boxing it into this, you know, to these lyrics specifically or these moments. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that when songs become, you know, when you hear them and they become yours, you know, you go like, oh, this is makes me think of my girl.
Well, I think so, because with everything that's gone on this year, you know, people are holding on and trying to, at least a lot of people we're hoping are doing this, is looking at life differently and reminding yourself of, you know, the real things that matter, the little things that we take for granted, and remembering, you know what, we have everything that we could possibly need. That's the most important thing. And that's like looking at somebody for the first time again and remembering what it was that you loved about that person. And I think that's what this song lends itself to as well.
Amen. Well said. Yeah.
Yeah. At least that's what my thoughts were when I was listening to it, because it just reminded me of so many things. It could be, you know, somebody that you've lost, or, you know, somebody that you're currently with and you just haven't taken that time to remember and embrace that love, because, you know, we get so darn busy, you know, when it comes to life.
Yeah.
And we forget, you know, like you might get irritated when you get home, but you're forgetting what you loved about that person to begin with.
Yeah. You know what? It's true. And at the end of the day, you're right. That's all the stuff that really matters. And boy, there's going to be a lot of high fives and hugs this year as everybody's finally able to get back together. Right. I'm going to be a hugging fool when I see all my friends back and family in Canada.
We just had Dan on. We just did Dan Davidson. He's going, man, he says, I'm just, you know, when I get back there and meeting all the fans, I'm going to be giving out hugs for everything. John's going, $2 a hug.
Yeah. Well, Dan's another one I look forward to seeing again. You know, we've chatted and stuff online, and we're supposed to do a Zoom right here in a minute. But I mean, there's nothing like hanging out with Dan in person, because he's funny as hell.
Oh, God, is he ever.
And we just spend the whole time just laughing and having a great time. He's one of those people that he reminds me of a real good friend of mine from my hometown in a lot of ways. He's just got a lovable quality about him, and he really reminds me of this friend of mine. So I guess when I met him, I felt like I knew him for years. But I think he has that effect on people.
He does. He's a really positive guy. Very, very positive.
He said he was going to add hugs to his merch table.
Yes, I think we all should. That's great.
Well, we also had Chris McComb on from Rivertown Saints. And congratulations on that song going out that you co-wrote for that. Congratulations.
Oh, right on. Well, thank you. Yeah, those guys are just so fantastic. I love those guys. I you know what? We're going to see each other. I'm going to see those guys hopefully on, up in Collingwood. We got a show to do.
You do?
Yes, and that's happening July 9th and 10th in Collingwood at Blue Mountain Inn. And resort, and it looks beautiful up there. I had no idea. I just
have you not been there?
Just the other day. No, I've never been there.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
I was just looking at the pictures.
Oh, you're gonna love it.
Yeah, it looks amazing.
One great place to go to, but when you're touring inside and all the nightlife in Collingwood, you know, after the show, it's so cool. There's no other place like it.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Just a great place to go to. And everybody just jams outside. Everybody's just going in and out of different restaurants in the village. It's so cool. You'll love it. My favorite place. One of my favorite places here in Ontario.
Well, that is awesome. I'm even more excited to play it now. And I might have to stay an extra day up there or something, because it looks like I'm not going to have that much time in between. I'm also doing some backyard bonfire parties or something, concerts. And it looks like that we've got a date in Ottawa on the 7th, and then one in somewhere on the 8th. It's in Ancaster on the 8th, and then one in London on the 9th. So I'm going to be posting about these on my social media real soon, and we might even add more if the demand is there and if the restrictions allow.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, this is what they've put together just around the show on the 10th. And I guess it'll be 50 to 100 people or whatever the max is they're allowed to have in the backyard.
Oh, God, you must be itching to play live.
And it's been so great and surreal to be able to email my band and talk to them the other day and say, like, hey, I can't believe it's, you know, I'm finally able to reach out to you guys and say, hey, we have a show on the books, you know, let's go. And even though it's a drive-in show, and I have never done one of those, so...
You'll love it. I know it's different because you're not, you know, like everybody's, you know, singing out the windows just the same. they might not be able to stand out and be right in front like you normally are, but they, you know, they're honking the horns and they're getting right into it. So a lot of people have been really surprised at how easy it was to transition to.
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to doing it because, you know, just to say, you know, that we did and we were a part of the drive-in show era, you know, COVID era. Well, you know, I know that because I, obviously there's been a handful of other artists and do these shows in Canada, but I, with the border being closed, I haven't been able to get up there. We've had offers to come do them, but obviously I just couldn't get up there with the border restrictions.
Oh yeah, because it's like 2 weeks before you even can go anywhere once you get across the border, and then the same thing going back, and yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, but now this is why I went and got fully vaccinated, so hopefully I don't have to quarantine for that long. I don't know yet.
You just never know. It changes day by day, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're actually digging. We're digging for that information right now to try to get a clear answer. You know, I need to figure out how many days ahead I need to, you know, get up there and what I need to do. But hopefully there'll be some announcements soon and we'll actually get a clear picture on that, because I don't know if anybody really knows. I keep hearing different things.
Mm-hmm. I don't think there is any clear picture right at the very moment. I can't wait. I'm hoping we get a chance to get out there and see you guys. Maybe we'll get out there to Collingwood. We'll have to try to work that one in, you know, on the weekend.
I hope everybody can get there. It's going to be, there's so much great talent on there. If you've seen the lineup, go on to my Instagram page for anybody who's listening.
It's huge.
And check the lineup out. I mean, from Andrew Hyatt's going to be there. Gosh, there's just a whole list of names that are just fantastic. Leah Daniels, who I know well, she's fantastic. And some new faces, too, that folks I haven't met yet, but I've just heard great things about that. I look forward to meeting them and seeing them do their thing.
I'll make sure I put it on the article for Now and Then magazine, so that way everybody can check it out and make some plans to be able to go out there and
yes,
see you
absolutely.
Live.
Oh, how can I forget Jade Eagleson?
That's right.
Jade is just killing it. I think he's got the most. He's got a video with like the most views of any Canadian artist in history. And so just a huge success online and killing it on radio. And we wrote a couple songs recently too. He and I and Jason McCoy wrote a really cool song a couple months back, and just met him over Zoom. So look forward to seeing Jade and hanging out in person.
Tell us about some of the other people you've been writing with, because you've just been busy, really busy.
Well, yeah. You know, I'm really thrilled to have a Roadhammer single on the radio going up the charts right now that I wrote with my good buds Clayton Bellamy.
He's on fire, that man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, Clayton's just been working real hard and writing like crazy, and so that was really cool. And, you know, and Clayton also hooked up another write for me and him and Matt Anderson, Canadian roots artist, who's really
talented. He's great.
Juno nominee, with a huge fan base, and he recorded that. We wrote one time, and he recorded it. He was going into the studio like the very next day or within the coming days, and he recorded what we wrote, and I haven't even heard it yet. I can't wait to hear it. That was really recently. Madeline Merlot too. We got Madeline had a big hit this past year on another song we wrote together, which was very cool. A song called It Didn't.
That is such a good song. I think it was, didn't you just do one with Megan Patrick too?
No, but that, I need to. Megan and I randomly text all the time or run into each other at my favorite little local lakefront watering hole here in Hendersonville called The Rudder. It's a marina bar that I love so much because it feels like it's like redneck vacation. You can go down there and get a pina colada and watch the boats come in and out and hang out on the patio and pretend you're in Key West or something.
It's the closest thing we can get right now, right?
I was hanging out with her, I guess it was last summer. We were all hanging at the Rudder with Megan, and her friend Lainey Wilson was there, who's just been really on fire lately. And
so many. It just goes to show you, you know, the pool of female Canadian country artists that are coming up right now. And it's just so nice to see them on the charts.
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, it's about time, because there was a weird time there where it wasn't the case but that really wasn't reflective of the history of country music, because I mean, even as far back as like the you know, the ladies of the late 50s and 60s, you go back to Patsy Cline, and then the 60s era of Tammy Wynette and Loretta Lynn and Dottie West and so many of the greats, and obviously Dolly Parton through the 70s, and Reba leading the charge through the late 80s and 90s, and like there's always been
Michelle Wright,
my favorite,
we've got so many of them.
Well, of course,
Patricia.
Then you talk about talk about the Canadian girls like Patricia Conner,
Carol and Don Johnson, my teenage
crushes. We're talking about Michelle Wright and Patricia Conroy, and I tell Michelle Wright and Trisha that all the time.
Oh well, you know what? They love you. I'm telling you, they talk.
I
about
love
you
them. They and Shania Twain. I mean, all those pretty ladies of the 90s. Where you know, there's always been that, and so it's great to see again because you got some girls with you know, big personalities and something to say. And so country music is in good hands with those ladies.
Are they ever. Are you okay to do a couple burning questions before you go? Because I know you got a session to go to.
Sure, no, that's fine.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't running you over time and Dan's waiting on the other end waiting for you.
Okay.
Okay, so what is your favorite writing session to date? One that really stands out for you.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite writing session date. Oh, okay. Okay, can I have two?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Okay, well, because one will always be when Derek Rutan and I wrote They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore. I mean, that was just such a magical time. That song just came down from heaven, and we talked about our grandfathers, and Derek's an old soul like that, too, and really appreciates family, and the way that all came about, I don't even think we really knew in the day. We knew we wrote something really special, but we didn't know the life that song would take on and the effect it would have on my career, or you know how many fans I would end up hearing from that told me how much that song moved them. So so that was a special write, and it's gosh, we're 10 years ago already, if you can believe that, from the time we wrote that song.
Oh,
we
wow.
wrote that
time flies,
in 2011.
So holy cow,
it sure does. We right about this time I think we were writing that song. So and then the other one, I had to pick two because getting to write and work with one of my, you know, all-time country music heroes, Steve Warner, years ago was, definitely a surreal and special experience to drive out to his place in Franklin and write. We actually wrote two songs that was really, really cool and really sweet of him, and that one will always be a treasure.
Oh, I bet. That's a really great memory. That's a good one. What about, what do you think has really sustained your career so far?
Oh, gosh. I think just doing it, I think just putting one foot in front of the other and doing it, I think that the fans that show up ultimately sustain a career. I mean, that's probably the biggest sustaining force that any artist can ever point to, because at the end of the day, you know, whenever you show up in a town and your name's on a marquee somewhere, if the fans come out and see you play, then you still have a career. And I think that, you know, Willie Nelson is like my hero when it comes to that. I mean, I hope that, you know, fans will stick with me and watch my hair turn gray too. And, you know, and guys like all those are the guys that I really respect, guys like Ricky Skaggs. I mean, just Marty Stewart and Vince, and all these heroes of mine turning gray now, you know, but still touring around, and Brian Adams getting wrinkly, but he still looks great, you know.
He does though, because doesn't he?
I mean, if anybody can hope to have careers like those guys, like all my heroes are older now, and that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to even to make music today. I'm even thinking about my career differently. You know, I approached it differently 10 years ago than 10 years before that when I was just starting out. I can't say that in the beginning of my career I was thinking about this far down the line. I was just really, I was honestly just thinking about the moment. I was just trying to have a hit at the time and just get my career going. And some of those songs hold up and some of them I don't play anymore, but the ones that do, I'm grateful for them. But then I also thinking about now, like I'd like to. I just turned 40, and
yes,
I mean, there's the loss here.
Happy
I'm 41.
Happy birthday, almost. Yep.
Thank you. So, you know, now I'm thinking about, like, well, what kind of music might I want to play, you know, when I'm, God willing, he gives me that, you know, enough time, I could do this and my hair will turn gray. Well, what kind of music do I want to play for the next 10 years and then 10 years after that? And I heard Marty Stewart talk about this very thing. He was about my age when he started Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives.
Mm-hmm.
And he went back to honky-tonk music, and that was 20 years ago, and they tour around as that. So you start thinking about, well, what can sustain a career? The music that you put out.
Yeah.
And the fans.
Yeah, and we were talking about that at the beginning of the interview, when you were talking about, are fans going to like this new stuff? I think you're living your best authentic life right now. And I think that really shows with the music that you're getting ready to set out and the stuff that you've put out so far, like with this song as well. I think that when everybody's striving for that fame and they want to get out there, get their music on there, get on the radio station, get on the big stages, when we're striving for all that stuff and we're just trying to be able to get that notoriety and getting on the tour buses and all the stuff that the young artists are striving for, you know, when you first start out to where you are now, I think that everybody settles into that pocket where they go, you know what, this is where you get to strip all that away, all that stuff you were chasing, and to be able to turn around and go, you know what, this is what means the most to me. And I think that that's where I see you now, is that you are living that authentic life and looking at what you really want to put out there and going back to your roots and going back to the things that you love the most.
Sure. And whenever you're right. And when you're starting out, you know, if you're lucky enough to have that clear of a vision of who you are when you're starting out, that's great. And I would encourage anybody to really, you know, have that dialed in before they ever get going. I was still discovering on who I was, or the difference between who I thought I was and who I might become as an artist was sort of, I think that, you know, and sometimes that changes too, especially when you get going as young as I was when I got going, and you kind of have some different, you know, music changes, the sound of country music changes, and
yes,
you have to evolve with it.
Yeah.
And then you just literally grow as a person that, you know, that you only know so many things, and it's pre, you know, life, pre, you know, having kids or being married or living any amount of life. You sing about different things and you just don't know as much. So, so it all sort of evolves. You also don't really dream past your third record anyway, too. You know, you can kind of go, oh, if I'm lucky enough to have a career, I'll have a party song, and I'll have a song about home, and a song about my family, and I'll have a song for girls, and I'll have a party song, and a getting out of town song. And then you eventually do all of those songs, and then you kind of go, okay, well, what else
now
is
what?
There to sing about now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you get 7 full albums, hon. You got a lot.
Right. So now you just make shit up.
I was waiting to see what you were going to say. Okay, now what? 7 full albums later, now what?
Yeah.
So you got.
Yeah, you just make it up.
So you got your new EP that you're working on now, and it's 7 songs, and this is going to mean so much when everybody gets to hear this. So when do you think the body of work's going to be coming out?
Oh, gosh. I honestly have no idea. I haven't made my mind up about that yet, because I don't know exactly how it's coming out, or if we'll be just kind of dropping a few things one at a time for a few months.
Mm-hmm.
I've been noticing things take a long time to get out. Like, you know, I follow different artists. I mentioned John Mayer earlier, and, you know, I've a couple of these songs that are on his new record, I heard them a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
from,
that's
from
true.
Him.
Yep.
And the record's only coming out now. But now it'll come out in its entirety or whatever, and you've already heard 3 songs from it or something. So there's a couple different ways to do it. There's something now with streaming that I've been, you know, been educated about, to where if I just drop this whole EP, like, as soon as it's ready, tomorrow or whatever, then there'll be one feature track. All of the DSPs, Spotify, Apple, all of those things will give, like, there'll be one feature track, whichever one we pick.
Yeah.
And then the other 6 songs will become instantly old, and they'll never get featured again on anything.
Mm-hmm.
They never get added as new music on a New Music Friday or any one of those things. So and then it becomes harder for the fans to find, you know, in a sea of songs out there, in a sea of music. You really got to get it you know, onto these playlists and get stuff out in front of people so it has a shot. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, we always remind everybody to rate the songs, because if you don't rate them, don't just download them, but rate them. You know,
right,
because that
right.
makes such a huge difference in how well you guys do. And it makes it easier for fans to find the songs too, because that's a good point you're making right there, because you can like a song, but if you don't rate it and give it a good rating, then some fans aren't going to be able to see the rest of the body of work. It gets missed, you know, when it comes to the streaming platform. So if they rate them, rate each song, then they will.
Yeah, you're right. This is all stuff that, you know, that fans are still kind of just realizing how important all of that is, you know, so... But, you know, ask me again a couple months from now and we'll see, because I'm going to be really excited to get this music out to everybody. And I think, and depending too on how things open back up, because I think that if things open up but are only opened up to a smaller scaled back scenario, then this music is going to lend itself very well to that, because I can go and tour this with a 3-piece band and play small rooms and maybe do a couple of the older songs broken down. But yeah, it's really a lot of exciting new stuff going on.
Awesome. Now, a couple of the other questions we've got. Do you remember the very first movie you ever took Amy to?
Yeah, it was Titanic.
Oh, you came out with that one real quick.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, very, very memorable, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who is the funniest person you have ever met or ever worked with?
Oh, God bless him. God rest his soul. Probably Dan Giacomo. I always mess up pronouncing his last name, from Rivertown Saints, who we lost a couple of years back. He was one of the funniest people I have ever met. And I didn't even know him for that long, but I felt like I knew him forever. And we would do Barack Obama and Donald Trump. I would do Donald Trump and he would be Barack Obama. And we would have everybody in stitches, just one-upping each other, being ridiculous. And so, no, that's the first person. There's been lots of funny people, but that's just one that comes to mind.
Oh, such a special soul. He just had a birthday that we just recognized, too, just not that long ago. And the fans, just the outpour of love for him. He's just an amazing soul. Amazing soul. We miss him dearly. What song do your children love to hear you sing?
The kids love Mood Swing, I think. They sing that one a lot around the house.
Nice. What about your little one? Because I know she was in the studio with you, trying to learn how to play guitar.
Yeah. Well, she loves her song. It's Dance With My Daughter. That's called her song. Both my daughters, they love that stuff. And that song specifically, because they're famous, don't you know, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. They tell their friends. Like, they've got in a big video on YouTube. So they are not camera shy either. None of my kids.
Have you got her a guitar yet?
I have so many guitars in the house, and most recently, it's been my youngest, my little Caden, who's 4, that he's shown the most interest. Caden and Sarah have started. I've started giving her lessons recently. I've got a tiny Martin acoustic guitar that's kid size or travel songwriter size.
That'd be perfect for her.
Yeah, yeah. They've just got to push through the pain, Kim. That's what they've got to. Kids aren't willing to push through the finger pain.
My fingers hurt, Dad.
Yeah.
I know I got to go back and get my fingers toughened up again. I haven't done it for so long. I miss it. I really miss it. Favorite campfire song?
Dixieland Delight, Alabama.
Oh, nice. Okay. So favorite board game or game to play with your kids?
Oh, gosh. Risk.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Who gets more worked up? But, who gets more worked up, you or the kids?
Oh, me by far. Me by far. My wife might seriously divorce me. We have these epic battles where we didn't talk to each other for a day. Like we're so.
Who's the most competitive in the house?
Well, I'll say she is, but she'll say me. But her and my son. Let me just put this in perspective. My wife is the kind of person that if she's driving the vehicle, if we're in her SUV, all of the lights turn green for her. If we're in my truck, we hit all red lights.
Like I think it's a universal language.
Yeah, and so my son has her luck, or my wife will put her name in a silly draw and wins some patio furniture or something. She's just got great luck. And then my son, my 12-year-old, is her boy. He even, like, you know, favors the way she looks a little bit more than me, and they just have tremendous luck. So if you know the game Risk, it really comes down to rolling the dice, and those two just hit the six. They just roll like crazy and just crush my plans for world domination. So it's been this is kind of indicative of how life has been during pandemic. We just at home playing board games and stuff and Risk takes forever, right? You can play that game for days. So
I know. I used to play that one with my brother, and it just do I have to play this one again? But then you get into it, and it's a good game. It's a really good game.
I always say, I've said I'm never playing this stupid game again.
Doesn't work out.
Yeah.
It doesn't work out. Have you guys ever played?
It's an evil game. It's terrible.
What song, I don't know if you remember this or if you did, but what song did you sing to woo Amy when you first met? Come on, because every artist plays the guitar for their girlfriend or their want to be girlfriend. So.
I don't know. I honestly don't know. I can't remember back that far, but it probably was a Bryan Adams song, as I wrote about in the song Boy with the Guitar. She used to come and see me play. I don't remember ever picking up my guitar to play her a song to her alone, directly. I don't think I did that. We were always just kind of amongst friends. I'd play around at a party or a campfire or something, and I don't remember ever picking up my guitar and just playing only
for
her.
Not even on Valentine's Day or anything?
No, I would have just thought it was too cheesy, and she probably would have thought it was cheesy. I don't know. I just never did. But she saw me do my first shows ever, my first gigs ever.
Mm. Did you use a pickup line on her?
Oh my goodness. No.
Should we ask Amy?
No, I know. I mean, I detailed the whole story in the title track of the new EP, Go With Me. It's like, that's the way it happened. You listen to
the
song,
story,
Go
and
With
you're
Me,
sticking to it.
And that's the story. Yeah. Yeah. That's how it all happened.
Okay. Okay. First song ever bought.
First song ever bought. Oh my god.
Or CD. Yeah.
Oh, it would have been Garth, I'm sure.
Okay.
It would have been Garth, probably In Pieces or Rope in the Wind or something like that.
Okay. Any rituals before going on stage?
Gosh. Sometimes the band and I will get together and do a little shot of whiskey and just cheers. Sometimes we do that.
You got to make your own whiskey.
Right? I'm going to have to get that done.
Ah, see? There you go. Okay, so favorite barbecue food?
Oh, brisket. Brisket. Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so favorite memory with your dad for Father's Day?
Oh, one that comes to mind, probably some of the musical events that we've done. Okay, here's two right quick. Last time we were up in Pembroke for Christmas, if you can believe this, it was 2018.
Oh, geez.
Was the last time we were there and the last time I got to play on stage with my dad, it was 2018. We did a 90s country night in Pembroke. I didn't play any of my own music. We quietly put together a thing and raised money for a local cause. And we ended up raising $10,000 that night.
Oh, wow.
For a place called the Robbie Dean Center. It's a mental health center that helps people dealing with mental health health issues in the area. But selfishly, it was just really a way to come together and play some music with my dad and my brother. And we did a 90s country night and just played all of our favorite songs from the 90s. And we had really put the work in on our own in terms of we call it woodshedding and really going over the tunes. And my dad did such a great job and just crushed it and did great. He plays the bass.
Oh,
and
does
the
he
other,
really?
The other memory is summer of 2017. I managed to, in the middle of touring that summer, I managed to get up to Pembroke and hit the river and go fishing with my dad and a neighbor who I've known my whole life. We call him Uncle Miles. And the three of us went out and got fishing. We went to go fishing, and it was kind of cold, and the river was kind of rough. And it was one of those things. I just sort of said a little quiet prayer that the waters would calm and the sun would come out and we would catch some damn fish. and that happened. It just, and the fish, we couldn't bring them into the boat fast enough. And it's just a great memory.
Oh, that's nice. Are you any better at fishing since the last time I talked to you?
No. No, I've all but given up bank fishing. I'm out. I'm out with that. I've untangled more lines and got you know, replaced more lures after they've gotten snared. And we never catch anything. It's just a disaster. So we're not going to fish as much. We're going to go on very specific days. We're going to get a boat. We're going to do it right. And we're going to come to Canada. We're going to clean all the fish out of the lakes of Ontario here in a minute.
You have to go out to White's Lake up north. White's Lake, if you like.
Well, that would be that's a bucket. Yeah, that's a bucket list thing.
It's a cool little spot. That's just, you know, it's just a great place for fishing. You never can go wrong. And Bass Lake is another one, so it's really good.
Absolutely.
Last thing we were going to ask you: what's happening with the golf tournament? Has anything happened with that?
Yes. No, it's on. It's happening for September 15th in Pembroke. It'll be a 1-day event at the Pembroke Golf Course, and it's going to be super limited capacity and everything. In accordance with all of the restrictions and stuff. But special guests are yet to be announced because I don't know who they are yet. I don't know who I can.
Aaron's probably going to be one of those, right? He's usually up for some golf, isn't he?
Well, I know that he would if he can. But from his Instagram, he's in the thick of building renovating a house from the bones up. And he's way out on the west coast of Canada. So I would love, he's got an open invitation. I love that guy. And he's got an open invitation to come back anytime. And he was scheduled to come in 2019 along with Jess Moskaluk. So I guess it just depends on travel and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then I'm going to see if I can, rope a couple of these folks that I'm going to see in Collingwood maybe to come up.
Mm.
I'm looking for some Ontario people that can just drive a few hours.
You have to get Jamie Warren for sure.
Yes. Well, I'd love to do. I've got another event too in the back of my mind. I'd love to at some point organize something where I can have some of my friends and legends come together and do a special event.
Now, Jamie loves golf, but right now his new wife is kicking his butt.
That's great. I love to hear that.
Angela's doing so good. She goes, I want to get to be like the best player out here. So yeah, she was just texting me today, so I was talking to her about that.
I think she had a hole in one.
I think she did.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we want to remind fans again to be able to download When I See You. It's such a great tune. Don't forget to share it, play it, and add it to your playlist, all your streaming platforms, and request it at your country local radio stations and request them to play. They will play it. If you make enough noise, they're going to play it. So we're so looking forward to seeing Jason play live. You're going to be in Collingwood again. Tell the date.
July 9th and 10th.
Okay, and where can any?
Well, I'm going to be there on the. I'm going to be there on the 10th only, but you're not going to want to miss the 9th either.
The great lineup, and we're going to post that on Now and Then magazine as well, so people can see exactly who's going to be there. And a great live show, and what a great place to spend a weekend. Doesn't get any better than Collingwood in Ontario, so it's really, really cool place to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can't wait.
Thanks for a great chat today once again.
Oh, we look forward to hearing you with this new live performance and the other songs that you got coming out. Can't wait. So thank you once again for spending a little bit of time with us and sharing a little bit of intimate details about you and Amy and your dating life. So we really appreciate that.
Thanks so much. Thanks, Kim. Thanks, John.
Okay,
thanks, Jason.
Take care, Jason. That was Jason Blaine here on Music's Journey. What an amazing, amazing man. Just an incredible singer-songwriter and just a joy to have on the show and as well as a friend. He's just such a super person. We have some great shows coming up for you. We have Stereos. We have Dan Davidson, Jamie Warren, Kea, The Heels, Mac London, Weapons, Sevelane, Carly Akins, and so many more. So we look forward to having you back. Thank you once again for sharing your time with us and allowing us into your home, into your cars, and wherever you're listening to Music's Journey. Before I go, just a reminder, if you enjoy today's show, please consider leaving us a rating and a review. The more positive the rating, the easier it is to find the show, and it really helps to grow the community that we are developing here. If you are someone who has recently found our podcast, welcome. We're really excited to have you here. So please make sure you subscribe and stay tuned to the future podcasts. Take a snapshot and post it on your Instagram story and tag Music's Journey Podcast, Now and Then Magazine, and Jason Blaine. We will feature you on the next podcast. We look forward to having you back. Once again, I am Kim Sear here on Music's Journey. Thank you so much for tuning in. Stay safe and have a great day.
And a great big thank you to Jason Blaine once again for chatting with us today on Music's Journey. The Music's Journey podcast is brought to you by NowAndThenMagazine.com. You can listen to all our podcasts on Google Podcast, Amazon Music, Spotify, Player FM, Deezer, TuneIn Alexa, Podcast Addicts, and Podchaser. Our theme song is titled I Can Tell by the band Emergence. I'm John Marshall. On behalf of your host, Kim Sear, thank you for listening to Music's Journey.